Running a business keeps you on your toes. Wouldn't it be great if your internet connection could keep up? Introducing Business Class Fiber from Vox. It's super fast, reliable, and highly cost-effective. You get unlimited calls to all SA destinations, and it's scalable. So no matter the size of your business, you've still got room to grow. Get connected with Business Class Fiber from Vox and see what super fast internet really means. For more information, visit vox.co.za.
Bitco is revolutionizing the way businesses connect. We're taking on your connectivity challenges and shooting our high-speed fiber internet across the country. Not just for some, but for everyone. Fiber is not a luxury, but a necessity. For business, for life, for you. And being connected is everything. So network with a Tier 1 internet provider and take your business to the next level of connectivity. Bitco.co.za. Connectivity is everything.
Thank you for listening to the Tech Central podcast. I'm Duncan MacLeod. I'm on a Skype call today with Bevan Ducasse, CEO of mobile loyalty payment software company Y Group, which has just attracted investments from Richard Branson's Virgin Group and from retail solutions provider Smollan. Bevan, thanks for talking to Tech Central today.
Great to be here, Duncan. Thank you.
Before we get into the transaction and Y Group for that matter, tell us a bit about yourself. What's your background?
So I actually from Natal originally. I grew up on a farm. A lot of people wonder how I ended up in a tech company growing up on a farm.
Whereabouts?
In a place called Escort, a small town in the Midlands.
I know it.
That's it. And then I ended up coming down to Stellenbosch University, which got me to the Cape, and started my career down here consulting and retail IT. And that really got me into the sort of the business world and the retail world as well as technology. And I just had always wanted to start my own business, and when I was 23, that led me to quit my job and start at that stage what was called Y Wallet, and obviously has emerged into what is Y Group today.
Wow. Okay. So what did you study, and what was that job that you quit?
So I studied a BCom financial analysis. Obviously, for me at that stage, I just wanted to get a degree behind my name, but had no idea, as a lot of students I've met have no idea what they want to do. And following that, I ended up getting a job at a company called UCS Solutions, which was a retail consulting firm, a really great company. I was very fortunate to get my first job there, which gave me a big spread on, you know, what was happening in the world of retail as well as technology. And I was there for 2.5 years, and I actually got headhunted for a startup company called Mobilitrix, which was in the mobile digital advertising space and mobile application space. And I worked there for 9 months, and it was after that I actually decided to, you know, quit my job and go and raise capital to start the business.
I remember UCS Group. They were listed on the JSE. I think John Bright was the CEO.
That's exactly it.
Yeah, yeah. And they were bought out, or a big chunk of them was bought out by Business Connection.
That's exactly right, yeah. So John Bright was actually the gentleman that I approached. Funny story how it comes back. So John was the founder of UCS Group. And UCS Solutions was actually a subsidiary of that group. And when I went raising capital, 4 months into my capital raise, I actually ended up in front of John Bright, who I'd never met before.
Okay.
And funny how these things work, but John Bright was the original funder and still is a shareholder through a company called Crossfin. But John was the original backer. When I walked into his room, I was raising 4.5 million rand, and I was a 23-year-old naive kid. And John backed me back in the day. That was in 2008 in January when we raised that first round. So it's been a very long journey, and John was pivotal in that journey.
So that was the Capital I investments?
That's right. So it started off with actually a UCS Group investment, which was exactly that with UCS. UCS then unbundled and sold out to BCX, as you've pointed out earlier. And the investments holdings that they had spun off into Capital I investments. And it's a bit of a long story, but Capital I Investments then ended up creating a fund called Crossfin Technologies, which is a pretty recent fund. But the original shareholders have obviously remained throughout that journey. So John Bright being involved in that fund. And there's another group called Multiplier that bought into Crossfin. So Crossfin Technology Holdings is now the one major shareholder, as well as Investec. And obviously, as per this call, we just introduced Virgin and Smollan.
Okay. And I presume you remain a significant shareholder as well.
That's correct, yeah. Okay. So the three significant shareholders are myself, Crossfin Technologies and Investec Asset Management. Mm-hmm. And Virgin and Smolin have just bought minority stakes in the company.
Okay. Well, we'll talk about those investments a bit later in this discussion. But tell me a bit about Y Group and its history, what it does, and the technology that you guys have developed.
Right. So when I founded the business with a friend of mine, Vasi Cook, who joined me from, you know, he was in Stellenbosch and he was a technical guy. He joined right in the beginning. And as mentioned, that business was called Y Wallet. And the idea I had there was just linking credit cards to a mobile phone and paying in store. All of us are now pretty familiar with that, using SnapScan and Zapper and Apple Pay. But in 2007, there was no one doing it. So we were way ahead of the game. We then pivoted the business after 2 years when we realized that that idea was just a bit too far ahead of the game. There was no iPhone and Android around at that stage, believe it or not. And so we pivoted the company to be a business-to-business software company. And what I realized at that stage was when I was approaching retailers and banks and telcos, they all wanted their own applications and they all wanted to engage with their customers. They wanted to increase sales, increase engagement, increase basket size. And I realized we were sitting on a goldmine of technology that we had built. And so that was the real key change. And over the last number of years, we've built Y Group into a what we call a software as a service company, where we've built rule engines like digital loyalty, digital couponing, vouchering, gifting, and mobile commerce software, where all these different players across telco, banking, retail, and insurance, where they can launch reward applications, mobile commerce applications, loyalty applications on top of our software. And and that's really what we've done over the last number of years. We have 85,000 retail lanes integrated into us. We have blue chip companies across retail, telco, insurance, and banking. And obviously now we're looking at exporting that overseas.
Okay, so it's not an app that you download from Google Play, for example. It's the technology you've developed is not branded Y Group. It's branded according to the customers that you work with, customers you work with.
That's exactly right. So, you know, for the customers in the South African market, they'll see things like the Vita loyalty app or a Mug and Bean loyalty app or digital coupons at ShopRite, or they'll see Discovery Active Rewards in the insurance place where Discovery issues reward vouchers, and all that is powered by Y Group. Some people might see the word Y code on the SMS or on the voucher that they receive, and that is part of the platform that we have developed.
Right. Okay. So you've just to talk us through, you mentioned 85,000 retail lanes. How big is the company in terms of reach and in terms of geography? I know you've expanded into some other markets in Southern Africa. Just talk about a bit about that and some of the opportunities you've seen elsewhere in the Southern African region to start with.
Sure. So we are in 85,000 lanes. We've processed 7 billion rand in value through our platform, which is a significant number. We employ 150 people, most of which are in South Africa. We've got about 125 in South Africa. We have about 25 in Mauritius. We've got a development hub there. And then we've opened up. We've got a guy in Ghana, Nigeria. In Southern Africa, we've gone live in Namibia, Zambia, and as mentioned, Nigeria and Ghana. And we see a huge opportunity to scale into Africa on the back of a lot of the retail clients that we have in South Africa. So if you look at the likes of ShopRite, you look at Fashini Group, you look at Engen, all of those retailers are scaling into the African market. And because we provide software to them here, there's a good opportunity for us to scale our business on the back of their growth into Africa, as well as the financial services industries. You know, Barclays, as an example, has got a great network into Africa. And that provides a great platform for us to hopefully work with them throughout the continent. And then we are also opening up into other markets. So we've got a guy in Amsterdam, we've got a guy in France, and we've got channel partners in the UAE and in Australasia, where we are hoping to sell our software into those markets on the back of these channel partnerships and on the back of the staff that we've hired in those regions.
Okay. I was interested in what you said about having a dev hub in Mauritius, 25 people there. I don't often hear Mauritius as referred to as a kind of a coding or development hub. It's more of a finance place, which I think a lot of companies put their African head offices there for tax purposes. Why a dev hub in Mauritius specifically?
Yeah, so it's a great question. We actually kind of stumbled across it, and we also weren't really looking for that. You typically look for the India and a few other places to get dev resources, and as we all know, Cape Town has turned into a real dev hub around the world, which has put pressure on finding the right level of resources with the right skill set at the right price. And we're still actively hiring in South Africa. But in Mauritius, we found they had really good talent that is untapped. We found out through another company that we were working with about 3 years ago. So we also met, often a company, as you know, is all about people, and we met a very senior technology manager that we've hired in that region. And he's actually started hiring staff for us in that territory. And it's just been a really great move for us. The other benefit of Mauritius is that we fly the resources into South Africa and they spend their first 3 months in the office with us here. So that really breeds the culture that we have. We onboard them properly. Unlike having your typical dev house where they, you know, in a different time zone or a different market and you never meet them, we've really got a personal relationship with them. We know who they are. We visit the office, they visit our office. And so it does make life a hell of a lot easier to scale your resources and at a reasonable price.
Mm. Okay. So you mentioned you're expanding into new markets, and the new investments you've attracted are going to help you with some of that. But let's talk about those new investments. So Virgin Group and Smollan. Of course, everyone knows Virgin Group. I don't know the Smollan company very well. Just tell me a bit about them.
So Smollan is one of the biggest retail solution companies globally, actually. So they, if you look at their typical business, grew out of what we call merchandising. So if you walk around a ShopRite and a Pick n Pay and a Spa, the individuals that are packing the shelves on behalf of the big brands, that is what initially grew Smollan to the business that it is today. But Dave Smollan and his brother Mike Smollan, who are currently involved in running the business, they've taken over. It's a family business. It's been around for years. They employ north of 50,000 employees around the world.
Wow.
And multiple markets. So it's an incredibly big business, and they've done an amazing job of now moving the business from being purely what I would call, your employees that are merchandising in the store, but now looking at being a full retail solutions and services company. And there's various obvious links between Y Group and them. They've got a huge reach into multiple markets all over the world. And we've got a software link that provides great software links into the retailers, and that complementary side allows them to move more into the solution space, which is what they're looking to do as a business, and allows us to tap into the reach that they have as an organization.
Okay, that's interesting. So I'm guessing that Smollan, at the very least, is not going to be a passive investor in Y Group.
100%. I mean, I think these two deals that we've done are all about the strategic links between both Virgin, and I can talk about that in a second.
Sure.
Smollan. Certainly, Smollan is highly strategic. They would love to introduce us to their brands, their networks, and the retailers that they have, and will certainly actively be involved in growing Y Group with us. I think like any investor, their business is still their business, and we certainly don't expect them to run our business. But the links and the inroads that they have go a long way in helping a business like ours export. And the other benefit of Smollan is they have gone before us and have already created what was a local company into an international business. And Y Group being on that journey, there's nothing better than following people that have done it before you. You can learn lessons and school fees that they've already paid, and hopefully we won't have to repay them.
So tell us a bit about the Virgin deal. How did that come about?
So Virgin, about a year ago, we started engaging with Virgin Money locally, and the idea that we started working with them on is launching a mobile payments app, a peer-to-peer payments application, where you can send money from any friend to any friend, linking your credit card, and it moves the money from your card to his bank account directly. So instead of having to enter your account details and your bank branch details, you literally pay them as simply as sending a WhatsApp message, and the money moves. So that was the initial concept. It caught the eye of the global team, and we started dealing with the global team as well as the local team. I was then very fortunate to be able to have met Sir Richard Branson.
Oh, nice.
And he happened to be down in Cape Town, and I met up with him, and I briefly pitched the idea that we're doing, and he got excited about it, and then there was a bit more momentum in the Virgin Group, as things do happen with that. And then, again, I was fortunate to meet Josh Bayliss, who's the current Virgin Global Group CEO. And we just connected. He was down in Cape Town. I showed him around the office. And I think the culture between Y Group and Virgin is just very similar. We've got a bunch of very innovative, passionate people that just love what they do. And I think they saw into that. And it wasn't long after those meetings and some of the work that we were doing that they actually said to us, we'd love to be involved in the business, and is there an opportunity for us to buy in? to which point, obviously, I obliged.
Where are you based in Cape Town, by the way?
So we're on the corner of the N5 and the N1, so about 5 minutes out of the city, against traffic for anyone living in town. And as we know, the traffic in Cape Town is a nightmare at the best of times. So it's a very central location. It's a lovely office park, and we've created a very, very great dynamic here in our space.
I know I'm going totally off topic here, Bevan, but the water crisis is currently in the news. As a business owner in Cape Town, how much does it worry you?
I was hoping you're going to ask me about the culture, not the water. look, it is a crisis, and I think anyone who says it's not a crisis is living under a pillow. It's not ideal. I'm certainly not going to try and point fingers as to where I think the blame is, but certainly someone has got it wrong. Someone hasn't had the foresight, and I think it's been pretty obvious over the last 3 years that the water levels have sunk dramatically. It hasn't just happened in the last 6 months. And obviously, as a business owner, it's, you know, as a CEO, if I look at Cape Town like a business, which it is, you know, that we've got foreign investors coming, we've got tourists coming, we've got agriculture, which are the biggest markets in our area. And if I was the CEO of Cape Town looking at this, being the politicians, I'd be saying, you know, we need to be putting in measures, whether it's desalinization plants, whether it's different dams or whatever the case might be. But saying to people that you have to go and walk and get 25 liters of water or shower in a bucket for the next 20 years is not a solution. So I think as a business, the bigger risk for us is, you know, if we do hit day zero, we got serious problems. You know, as you can imagine, if we can't flush toilets in an office park, it's very unlikely we're going to have people working in an office. And for a collaborative, dynamic business like ours, having people not collaborate in person is hugely strenuous. Now, we could operate in, you know, in isolation and in virtual worlds, but it certainly will make life hell of a difficult for us. But I do think there are businesses that are, you know, if you look at there are a few people that say they've got warehousing businesses or farms. And those guys are going to lose significant jobs and they're going to have far bigger problems than us. So it's a crisis. I don't have the answer, but I certainly hope people do come up with better answers than what I've heard to date.
Let's hope it rains soon. Before we wrap up, Bevan, tell me a bit about the future of Y Group, what the opportunities are as you see them.
So We really do find ourselves in a fortunate space, and you know, we in the heart of technology, being mobile. Mobile is booming everywhere in the world. Software as a service is booming everywhere in the world. You know, the beauty of building software as a service is any developer anywhere in the world can integrate into our product and consume it for their use. So if a person in Pakistan wants to launch a loyalty app and a rewards app, and they Google rewards and they come across our platform, they can integrate in, consume it, put a credit card in, and we can make money. So we really at the center of the web, the center of software as a service, and the center at mobile. And that puts us in a great position to be able to exploit that over the coming years. You know, I think nothing comes easy, so we've still got to work hard and do what we need to do and position ourselves well and look at competitors. But I do think that, you know, we've grown our business basically 50% year on year for the last 5 years, and we're hoping for the same to come. So we're getting significant growth in markets that are quite tough. And I think that's really, we just, you know, if we focus the business well, we keep the team dynamic and energized, we keep innovating, and there's no reason why we can't carry on growing the business. And I think South Africa needs more global businesses that hit global scale, and we certainly hope to be one of those that, you know, perhaps even becomes a unicorn.
Right. I was going to ask, are you hoping to remain independent for as long as possible? Are you hoping that maybe a big international software company is going to take notice at some point?
Yeah, so I think like every entrepreneur, there's the minute you lose your passion for something, then that's probably the time you need to get out. I certainly don't see that happening anytime soon. We've got an amazing team with amazing products, and for the next, you know, number of years, I'm certainly would love to be involved and to not exit the company. Some businesses want to grow to exit. I want to grow the business to grow the business. I think it's a great business. It's going to be highly profitable. It's proven to be highly profitable already in the past. So I think for us to keep doing what we're doing, that's what I'd like. For me, I'd love to find, you know, Investec Asset Management is a private equity company that will be exiting in the next 2.5 years. They've been in for 2.5 years. So that'll probably be the only change to the shareholding when they look to exit. And at that stage, first prize for me would be to find a like-minded company, a global company that loves what we do and comes along for the journey. It's very similar to a Virgin and a Smarlin, where you know they're in it for the long haul with us, and we're very excited about the partnership. But you never say never. You know, a listing is an opportunity, a big buyout is an opportunity, and I think you just need to be able to be flexible and play the field as it lies, and I'm sure things will keep changing, so we'll just have to monitor it.
What is Capital I's investment philosophy, by the way? Are they also looking to exit at some point?
Yeah, so as I mentioned earlier, Capital I's become Crossfin, and Crossfin's mandate at this stage is also a growth fund, so fortunately there's no horizon for them. They are very interested in just seeing Y Group grow and seeing their fund grow over time. As with every investor, there's at some point in time, you will look to get your capital out. But at the same time, if your capital is working better for you in than out, you kind of always got to ask yourself the question, well, why take it out to put it in a business that's maybe not growing as fast? So provided Y Group continues to grow, there's not really a hell of a lot of reason for people to get it out unless there's a liquidity requirement. And that's certainly not the case at this stage. So I think we're all in the same boat. When a good opportunity arises, we'll all have a look at it on merit, but there's no pressure for that.
Well, congratulations again on the deal. Bevan De Cas is CEO of Y Group. Thank you for talking to Tech Central today.
Thank you, Duncan. It's been great to chat to you.